There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Money management. We have been asking you what percentage of your salary you are managing to save. And people have come in with a lot of personal detail, which we appreciate, and a bit of advice as well. This is Sanjay.
I think everybody should try to pay off their credit cards first. That's the most expensive loan that you ever had. Ideally, you should only be spending the money that you have, not money that you borrow. So try to pay the credit card bills in full every month, no matter what.
Amo's also got some advice. He says that he follows a rule that his granddad taught him.
If you're earning one dirham, for example, then you should always save or keep 25 fils first, and then you spend for the balance. So whatever your back salary is at any point of time, so make it a point to always save 25% of it.
Well, we almost don't need a financial expert, but we've got one anyway. Sam Instone is the CEO and founder of AES International. He's in the studio to talk to us about what percentage we actually should be saving, and also a new survey that came out recently talking about how much we're all relying on our gratuities as a pension fund. Sam, it's great to have you in. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brandy.
Let's actually start with that saving of your salary. What's the magic number? Is there a formula?
There isn't really a magic formula. It's all to do with your personal circumstances and your situation. However, a rough rule of thumb, which you would tend to be able to use, is broadly half your age. So if you're in your 20s, you can save 10%. If you're in your 30s, 15%, 40s, 20% and up. And if you're always doing that, putting it aside in the right type of platform, investing it wisely, you're going to be set by the time you come to retirement.
And I kind of knew that you would be mentioning the I word straight off the bat, because we're saying what percentage of your salary do you save, but I'm presuming that you don't think we should all just tuck it away in cash until we're 65 and ready to leave the workforce.
Well, I think there are probably three steps that people need to do. The first is finding the right type of platform to keep and hold that money.
What do you mean by platform?
Platform, it could be a bank account. For expatriates here in the UAE, we normally say if you come from country A, for me, the UK, you live in country B, and then it's best to bank or keep your money in country C. For lots of people, that can be Swiss quote in DIFC, provided they advertise here on the radio. It could be a private bank in the Isle of Man, but a safe place, lots of potential reasons. The first is tax efficiency in lots of jurisdictions. It could be for security. If you lose your job here, you don't want your bank account frozen. It could be that you want international multi-currency facilities or a higher level of service. And so establishing the right platform on which to build wealth, whether it's for retirement or just for savings or children's education, is the first key thing. And then coming back, the second key step is saving more money than you earn. It sounds very obvious, but knowing your life in numbers, whether you're a sheikh or a construction worker, everyone's lives can be put into numbers, just like a set of company accounts for a company. And that's a cash flow plan. It's bespoke and individual to people. But that really means that you can work out by turning your life into numbers, whether it's yourself on an Excel spreadsheet or by using an advisor, and you can see how the future looks. And that's how you can really best calculate what you're going to need based upon your own future goals. If you want to retire when you're 65, 75, keep on working, or retire at 50. And that's the first key two steps. The third will be to invest wisely and let the miracle of compound interest in time do its magic.
Rich was talking earlier about some of the traps that people can fall into here. Porsches and brunches, he was saying. What do you see, Sam, when people come to you because they need to sort out their finances and come up with a long-term plan? What are the main mistakes you see people making?
In each of those key steps, people get each of them wrong. They choose a very bad platform in which to keep their money, and that can mean that sometimes it disappears altogether, or it could be a very expensive platform or product sold to them by a financial salesperson. The second one is they don't save more than they earn. So that's the easiest here in Dubai when the cost of living is so high. They don't set aside that monthly amount. And then the third, they don't invest wisely and let time run its course. And wise investment is probably the thing which I see most gone wrong here. People tend to speculate. They tend to do it very the wrong way. They tend to buy cryptocurrency. They gamble. They want to make money quickly. And it's all about keeping costs very low, diversifying, balance. And so that investing wisely And you need to make sure all three steps, right platform, budgeting, and invest wisely with time to run its course is going to be the key.
Sam, I've got a load of questions for you, and I can see that a load are coming in. We're going to get into gratuities and retirement in just a few minutes, whether or not we're using our gratuities the right way, whether we should be looking them as a pension pot or just a bonus when we are leaving a company. But before we do you have a spending breakdown for us? I've always been taught that there was a 30% that you should spend on rent, 50% on necessities and 20% saving. Is there a metric at all? And I know it's individual, but is there an easy metric?
That rule is a very commonly used rule. And I think, again, it comes back to being specific to people's own circumstances. None of these financial rules, they are just general rules of thumb. But I think as long as you have that plan in place, and step two, spend less than you earn and have that plan in place, think where you want to be specific to your own situation, then having a plan is much more important to having none whatsoever, letting time, which it does so well here in Dubai, run through your hands and fingers so quickly.
And I wanted your take on a survey that's come out recently, which suggested that 60% of us, so the majority of us here in the UAE, expect to use our gratuities to fund some or all of our retirement. What kind of role should gratuities be taking in our lives?
The reality is that unlike a pension in different types of countries, because it sits in cash, and even though ostensibly it can sound quite good, a month or up to a month's pay for every year of service after the first year, because it sits in cash, it doesn't compound and it doesn't grow over a period of time. So it's often woefully inadequate to cover retirement needs. And when you actually, we talked about the three key steps, but they're planning with the person who emailed in. If you don't plan well, you won't know the total amount needed in retirement to live the life that you want to do or when you can retire. And it just isn't going to be enough. And so people that rely on gratuity really need to get into that step two, plan where they want to be, work out what type of need they might be. And I think when they work out what their gratuity will be, there'll be a huge difference in between, and they need to save money to cover that.
So you need to be making your own retirement pension plans on the side of any gratuity scheme?
Yes.
What are you seeing with people who come into your office looking for, well, investment advice, I suppose, and ways to invest? Are you seeing people looking to retire later than you used to?
Entire range of different things. Here we see a lot of people want to come here for a few years, earn money tax-free and go home. We see a lot of people who also want to retire to other types of places in the world where they have a much lower cost of retirement. But at the same time, of course, now we have people living a lot longer, and one in three people born today is meant to live to 100, according to statistics. And because of that, people can spend half of their lives almost in retirement. And so planning, setting aside, is such a critical type of thing. But it's very personal. If people expect to retire on the same types of incomes as they run today, it's a very, very hard thing to do, and people need to begin saving early.
How is that longevity affecting your industry? I mean, we've interviewed one of the authors of the 100-year life, who reckons that we're all going to be just working in different ways for later, taking sort of, you know, reinventing ourselves a couple of times over our career, but not stopping at 50 and then somehow finding the money for another 50 years. But this must be changing your industry in the way that you plan for people or help them plan.
Absolutely. We see millennials, in any case, they've got a different idea often of how they want to work. And from my parents' generation, who retired traditionally at age of 65, all types of different ideas. And we see a lot of change, both in the way which people are thinking about retirement and, of course, the way in which people can invest for their retirement. And even in the 15 years that I've been here, the way in which people can invest, the options available to them have substantially improved. And whilst my parents were traditionally investing in expensive mutual funds, which typically underperformed the market, they're now a whole raft of different ways recommended by the wide sage of Omaha, Warren Buffett, in order to get better types of returns.
Well, very quickly, let's hear from Warren Buffett. He is the world's richest and most successful investor. This is him talking about why we should be investing in cheap tracker funds with low fees.
The S&P 500 index fund is the one to use. That's the one I used in that bet I made for 10 years. It's the one I've told the trustee for my wife to put 90% of the funds I leave her into. The S&P 500 is, I don't know whether it's 80% of the market value of, you know, of everything you can buy in this country. And it's over, I think it's over $20 trillion And you're buying America.
That's Warren Buffett on buying, in particular, the S&P 500 tracker fund. The bet he referred to was a competition between him and a hedge fund manager 10 years ago. Hedge funds charge big fees but claim to be able to outperform the market. Warren Buffett said, no, if I put my $1 million just in a dead cheap S&P 500 tracker fund, I'm going to do better than you over 10 years. And of course, Warren Buffett won that particular competition. How do we keep fees low, Sam? Because financial professionals like you have got to earn a living. We can't have no fees, can we? Or else nothing would happen.
No. But particularly here in the Middle East, we tend to be a decade or more behind the way in which fees and charges are perceived in more developed markets. And there are often many different layers of intermediation or mouths in the chain that need to be fed. And of course, with modern technology and changing investment, things like low-cost tracker funds advocated by Warren Buffett, then now everything has changed. And there is the opportunity for day-to-day investors to get really, really good investment opportunities. They just need to know how to invest wisely. And there are basically six very basic ways in which to do that. The first is to control your costs. There, it's pretty much the only thing which you can control because you can't control the market. You accept the price of the market knowing that the fair market hypothesis, it's fairly priced at any day and time. So now's as good a day as any other day. You don't try to speculate, buy and time the market. Beware of market gurus who promise things, massive returns, spread your risk, diversify, stay disciplined, i.e. keep invested and let time do its magic, and then stay balanced and make sure that you have a proper mix of bonds and equities. But with these basic type rules, there's a huge opportunity to get much, much better investment outcomes than were available to my parents in history.
Sam Inston, CEO and founder of AES International. Lovely to have you with us. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Brandy.
Dubai Eye 103.8 presents an array of independent expert opinions and does not advise one particular view. Always seek independent legal advice which considers your own personal circumstances.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.